We have been talking about the temple of the Lord, Emmanuel. So Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in the earth. And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He said, to teach all nations refers to discipleship. And we said that is the spine of Christianity. Teach all nations. That means you and I have a mandate. Say mandate. You and I have an instruction from the Lord. And that instruction says to teach, which means to preach the gospel. I know that oftentimes a lot of people find it difficult. They think, oh, it's a bit stressing. I have to start preaching. What will people say? What if I don't get it right? Amen. But the truth is, you will get it right because you were born for it. You were made for this. So he says, we go and preach the gospel to every nation. Go and preach the gospel. I told you, I said, display. You make the mistake every time. I told you, I said, that the essence of Christian meetings is for the gospel. Nobody's holding a meeting so that we can just come together and feel good about ourselves. We are not holding a meeting so that, you know, everybody can rejoice and, you know, we know that, we have believers meeting. Nah. It's to the end that we preach more. To the end that we get more souls won for Christ. That makes sense? And that should be your heart desire. I told you next year starts what? Eh? Did I prove it? Eh? Did I prove it yesterday? That next year starts now. Alright. So there's nothing like, I'm going to start January. In fact, I've heard people say, okay. January. Final. I hope you know that doesn't work, right? Eh? I hope you have tried stealing meat before. And you pick one. So this is the last one. If I pick another one again, I don't know what should do me. And you just say, you pick another one, say, like I said, that other time. That one I was not serious. This one I was. Don't let the devil push you into that zone. That zone that keeps waiting and waiting and waiting. The time to start preaching is now. You don't have all years. You don't have all eternity. The time to start preaching and teaching the God's word is now. So he says, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe. Teaching them to observe that I am with you always. Something like that. Teaching them to observe that I am with you always. And we said, he is with us, not in any other way, but where? Eh? In us. He's not in politics. He's not in economics. He's not in finance. He's not in governance. Some people think God is the one that will change the politics of the nation. God has no business with politics. Some think God is the one that will change the economic situation of a nation. That's not how nations prosper. Amen. God has nothing. Oh, you say, as I said, because America used to say, God bless America. And what do we say? God bless Nigeria. I'm like that. Because you are saying God bless Nigeria. God is not there. Amen. He is in you. And we explained that, I think, was it yesterday or day before yesterday, that the omnipresent presence of God is where believers are. That makes sense? Where there is no believer in Christ, God is not present. He's not, at least I know he's not in hell. God is not present when believers are absent. So, he said, I will be in you. And we put a mark on that yesterday. We said, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. That is, what did God join together again? Husband and wife? Come on. What did God join together? Christ and the church. I speak unto you a mystery, but I speak of Christ and his church. So that's what God has joined together. Then he says, don't put asunder. How do I put asunder? By saying they are not joined together. By saying the Spirit of God is in a bottle of oil. I am putting asunder. By saying the Spirit of God is in a candle. I'm putting asunder. By saying the Spirit of God is in a bread, like agege, he is risen. Then I'm putting asunder. Does that make sense? He is not there. He is in you. He is in me. So don't put asunder in your words. Don't put asunder in your songs. There is something that make me come into your presence. No. We live with his presence. Amen. I know. Well, you can justify that song a bit. And say when believers are gathered, he is present with us, right? And there's something that makes me come into your presence. So justify. Eh? But you know what you are saying. You are taking the attention away from the fact that he is in the indwelling. That's where he is. He's not in the building. The building is not the presence of God. A church can hold their meetings in a casino, for all I care. They can hold their meetings in a brothel. But I wonder what you want to explain to your disciples. He said, where's your church? You know that brothel there, where they used to smoke and there. When you enter, just enter. Don't worry about what you will see. Just enter. When you enter, when you cut corner to the right, you see our pastor. So the church can hold meetings anywhere. God is not in buildings. Amen. Where is he? He's in me. Amen. Alright. So don't put asunder in your doctrine. Don't put asunder in your prayer. Come down. Oh Lord, and manifest your power. Come down from where? Like he's going to use ladder. Sokale, Oluwa, Wavya, Barale. Not like that. He's not coming down from anywhere. Except you are high. Don't mind my word play. Except you are high. He's not coming down from anywhere. Amen. What's that one? Let the spirit of the Lord come down. Latibo. Amen. Latibo, exactly. That's your lip to it. Let the spirit of the Lord come down. Latibo. Let us be the Lord from heaven come down. You are putting asunder in your song. So now you put asunder in your prayer. Let's begin to invite the Spirit of the Lord into our midst. What's that? We don't invite him to our midst. He is in us. What we now do to have him in our midst is that we, by our own deliberation, by our own will, we now put the Spirit of God that is within us, then put it among us by our activities. Does that make sense? So when we lift hands and bless his name, when we speak with other tongues and interpret tongues, what are we doing? We are putting the Spirit within among us. You don't invite him. I was in one funny meeting one time. It's been long. It's over 10 years. And he said, let us begin to invite the Spirit of the Lord. And people started saying, I don't understand. You are inviting the Spirit of the Lord, but you are speaking by the Spirit. So what are you inviting exactly? Amen. Hey, let's invite the Spirit of the Lord. You have the Spirit. Amen. So, don't put asunder what God has joined together. Let not man put asunder in his songs, in his words, in his doctrine, in his prayer. Don't put asunder. Don't say God is separate. Because he's in you. Amen. So he said, I am with you always. Verse 20, Matthew 28, 20. I am with you always. And we said that word, that language, I'm with you always, is consistent with where I am, there you'll be also, right? But is it consistent with it? Is it consistent with, in that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you? Is it consistent? Are they one and the same? Matthew 28, 20? John 14, 3? John 14, 20? Are they one and the same? Am I fast? Are they one and the same? Yes. So, I am with you always will allude to the indwelling. The indwelling of the Spirit, that is the temple of God, where God now dwells in man by his Spirit. So you are the temple of God. If so be that the Spirit of the Lord dwells in you. Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of God dwells in me. So we have seen God in man, God with man, God for man. We have seen that is the consistent plan of God. That is the consistent plan of God. Temples were built because of unbelief. Come on. Is that what Jesus said? Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to do it, to separate. And that separation is the temple. Come on, come on, come on. Are we seeing the same doctrine? Eh? Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, asked you to put away your wives, because that's what you did when you built the ark. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, ask you to put away your wife, because that's what you did when you start bringing showbread. And so the temple has its base on unbelief. Because God's plan was never to stay in buildings. God's plan was always to stay in man, to work his pleasure in man, to wrought his will in man. That is God's plan. Say, that is God's plan. That's God's plan. So they built temples, they built the ark, they built the sanctuary, the tents and everything in unbelief. So, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to do it. So the Ark of Covenant existed because of the hardness of your heart. From the beginning, there was no ark. Yes or no? From the beginning, there was no temple. When God spoke to Moses, was there a temple? In Exodus 3, when he was going with his father-in-lawship, and there was a burning bush, was there a temple? No, God spoke to him directly. Because God does not need a temple. God does not need an ark. God does not need a sanctuary. He wants to talk to man directly. But because of their unbelief, they will need a temple. So God's intention has always been to dwell in man. Is that the intention from the beginning? One body. A man shall leave father and mother. And they will be what? One body, right? One flesh. And we say that that's about marital vows. Eh? Come on. Genesis is for what? You say, I have fornication, eh? Okay. Genesis is for salvation. Amen. Alright, so, a man living his father and mother speaks of what Christ will do. To be one body with the church. In his sleep, right? We saw his sleep, Abby. Lazarus sleeps. We shall not all sleep. Eh? Those who sleep in Christ. We saw that yesterday. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. 1 Thessalonians 5:10, 1 Corinthians 15:51, John 11:11. Saw that one. All right, we saw that yesterday. All right, so we saw that the language of sleep is the language of Genesis, right? And does it mean that the person is snoring? What does it mean? Guys are Nigerians. True, true. Maybe he's dead. All right, so we saw that by the sleep and wake of Christ, what he did in 3 days, is now one body. Having said that, we progress to see that the temple is clean. Say the temple is clean. And the temple has no union with idols. We saw that, was that yesterday afternoon? When we were looking at what agreements does the temple of God have with idols? And we said, is there any agreement? Did we see that in the scriptures? Eh? Come, I'm just going over what we've learned in the last 3 days. Alright? So we said, what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? Is there any agreement? Where did we see that from? 2 Samuel? Is it 1 Samuel? 1 Samuel chapter 5. And we saw that when they took the ark of God into the house of Dagon. What happened to Dagon? Eh? Dagon was Dagon. Amen. He fell face flat. Arms gone. Before the Ark of Covenant. And we said, Dagon must fall face flat in your doctrine, in your living, as you serve the Lord. Every idol must fall down. Amen. Because in the temple, there is no union with idols. And we're able to look at the fact that idols could be anything. You don't have to have a figurine. You don't have to have a figure in your bedroom. I call one sister like that. She had one very nice sculpture in her room. So one day we thought about idols and she just left service. Where are you going to, sister? So I'm coming. It was later we found out that she went to burn this stuff. That's not about idols. Some idols are in your heart. In fact, most idols, they stay in the heart. That makes sense? Not on tables. If you look at yourself and you see that money always get the better side of you. Anytime there is money, you don't care what is in the picture. Anytime there is money, you say, there's service, but there's one job like that. It's just 2 hours. You know, people do it. When devil wants to tempt you, 2 hours and you're done. So, what time? Sunday, 8:30 a.m. Say, it's not even starting 10. 8:30. When will it finish? 11:30. Ah. Eh. How much did he say it is? You know that is the time for your service. How much did he say it is again? It says 150k. God will understand. We have a merciful God. The merciful God. You suddenly remember his mercy. Because money gets the better side of you. And it's not about that one. It's about the decisions in your life you will make after that. On that precedent. Because if you do that once, you will do it again. And when it's time to betray Jesus for money, Judas will be proud of you. If you do it once, you will do it again. That's the way the devil works. It doesn't start by throwing you off the cliff. No. It starts with the little ones. The little things. It's just one service now. He's not saying, it's true. In fact, there's, God is not in the temple. God is not in the building. He's in me. Don't say, I don't need to go to any church. Christ lives in me. So what are you going to do? I have service. I don't get it. Christ is here. I am here. Service has started. I remember 2014, I was preaching. Children in the hall, Unilag. And, I went to one particular room. And I told the guy, I said, I'm inviting to church because it was a Sunday morning, but my fellowship used to hold services 2 o'clock. So I used to go around on Sunday mornings preaching. So I went to his room and I said, I'm inviting you for service. I preached to him before, but it was very adamant. And he said, I think I've told the story before. And he said, that he doesn't go to church. I said, why? He said, I am the church. I said, body of Christ. He said, I am the church. You know that? What do you bring to the table? I am the table. Well, I can't see 4 legs. So he said, I am the church. I said, you are the church. He started showing me. He showed me his laptop. He showed me a pastor preaching there. And this is the way he does church. He will lie down. He will play the pastor. He can pause the pastor. You get? He can pause the pastor. He can play the pastor. He can pause the pastor, go to the toilet, come back. And the pastor has not said anything else. So, that is his pastor. I said, what about the choir? Just open another tab. Showed me a song. I think it was playing this song. Come on, call everything, man. The precious blood of Jesus. Because that song was written in 2014. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Reading. And it was like this. Forgive. That's the choir. I said, oh, wow. I said, who takes the offering? I said, you will give the offering and you will take it. What of offering there were? Eventually, he came around. Amen. But that was after many weeks of conviction. You know, but it shows you how the devil can make some people think. And I won't be surprised if his idol is just comfort. He just does not want to leave his room. Why should I go to church? Why should I have to wake up early, dress up, and go to somewhere to pray? Why? So we said the temple of God is free of idols. Say it's free of idols. Tell someone beside you, beware of idols. Did he say I will? Say it again, beware of idols. Sometimes the idol is your career. Sometimes the idol is ambitions. Opportunities. Anything that has opportunity, your head is there. Say, hey, what's there for me? Beware of idols. Amen. Alright, so, we looked at that yesterday, that Dagon falls face flat before the ark of God. And it must remain so in our daily living. But what else is peculiar to the temple? What else is peculiar to the temple? We go this morning. The temple is a place of honor. Say the temple is a place of honor. That is a place you treat with regard. We saw that in the Old Testament, the way the temple was treated. In the temple, you don't just do anyhow. I told you yesterday, right? The way they comport themselves in the temple. You wear a clean clothing. In fact, there's a particular kind of clothes you must not wear. Or you must not put on. Then, you wash yourself. Until today, the Jews still have that tradition. When they're going to the temple, that's what you see Muslims do. You wash your hands, you wash your leg. You wash your face, every orifice. You wash it. And then you can now go into the temple. That's because they treat it with honor. You treat the temple with honor, with respect. We saw Jesus in John 2, right? When he entered the temple and he saw them buying and selling. Say, Alpha, if you sow 1K, you will reap 1.5. They were buying and selling in the temple. Trade by barter. Imagine coming to the temple. Oh, yeah, right? And as you're coming to the temple, you just see Ugu. Ugu somewhere. Sister Elizabeth, Ugu. Fast, before service starts. It's 59. So now you buy things because you are in the temple. You guys are in the temple. This must not be expensive in the temple. We are for one another. 3 for 50. Amen. Jesus saw them buying and selling. What was his reaction? He sent them out. He said, you must not make my father's house the house of merchandise. Matthew 21 puts it like this. It's the house of prayer. Don't make it a den of thieves. Matthew 21 verse 14. Verse 13. Don't make it a den of thieves. So the temple is a serious place. Why? Because God is there. Say, because God is there. Because they had a perception of the presence of God. Don't forget that. Was that not why God asked them to build the sanctuary? Exodus 25, verse 8 to 9. Build me a sanctuary so that I may dwell with my people. So because God is there, they respected it. And we now say, where is God now today? Eh? You said that like you're not sure. Like, I'm still thinking about it. Where is God today? So if he's in you and he's in your neighbor, ask your neighbor, before we continue, is God in you? Or you don't shift him? You don't put asunder? Is God in you? Does he live in you? So if he lives in your neighbor, what that means is that you ought to treat every believer with honor. So if God dwells in your neighbor, in every believer, it means you ought to treat every believer in Christ with honor, because that's the temple of God. Every believer in Christ, you ought to treat with due honor, because God is there. Because God is there. Jesus told his disciples, love one another. And in saying that, he said, because the world will hate you. That's John 15, verse 17, verse 18. Say, because the world will hate you, because they hate me first. So your own duty will be to love one another. And at the root of that word love, has the word honor. Say honor. What does honor mean? Honor means to hold in high regard. To treat as special. To treat as what? Huh? As special. That's what honor means. It's not a big word. To treat as separate. And we said, that's the way you treat the temple of God. We ought to honor one another as the temple of God. Let me say this. Your first realization when you see a believer in Christ must be, this is the temple of God. And so I'm going to honor this person. Regardless of the age, regardless of the gender, regardless of the status, your first duty to any believer and every believer in Christ is to give due honor. I have never, by the grace of God, and will never look down on a believer. I first see you as God's temple that God is walking in. You get that? That's your first impression you make of me. I see you as a place that God is dwelling, that God can speak through, that God can walk through. So regardless of your mistakes and your shortcomings, you know what? You are still the temple of God. Some people treat unbelievers more special than believers. It ought not to be so. You must treat every believer in Christ as special. That makes sense? Are you listening to me? Don't look down on people. See them the way God sees them. Someone so precious that Jesus died for. Someone so priceless that God became a man for. So you can't afford to now see them in any other light. Some people, if a
believer is coming to your house, let's say your pastor or your cell leader, he comes to your house, just say, you're welcome. Here comes, sir. But if they say the governor is coming to your house, I saw the smile on your face. If they told you that the governor is coming to your house next year, renovation will start now. Abi, you will start renovating now. Say, should we even pack to another house? They may not know the address. Let's stay here. Plaster, painting, furniture. I don't like this furniture. He said, well, we bought it last month. Kick it out. Why? The governor is coming. But they say, your salary says, I'm coming to pay you a visit in your house. Okay, sir. What day, sir? On Wednesday. By 5 o'clock. Okay, sir. That's it. 4 o'clock. You are still somewhere playing. 4:30. It's almost here. I'll soon be going. 4:45. Let me go in home. Your salary that comes. How are you doing? I just said I should know your place. Thank you, sir. I'm grateful, sir. No water. Jesus said, no water for my feet. Not because you don't have money to entertain, but because you just lack honor. You don't see it as special. You don't see it as a big deal. And what does that tell you? You are calling the temple of God nothing. And then there comes a politician who doesn't even have the spirit of God. And then you are head over heels, running around. You made 8 different dishes. You serve bread and egg. You serve afang. You serve white soup. You serve red soup, black soup, blue soup. There's no color. All the rainbow. You serve all the soups. Why? You don't know what you need. My life is full of honor. So the temple ought to be treated with honor. That's the temple of God. And the scriptures instruct us to honor one another. Not judge one another. Honor one another. You honor in your words. Someone say, I don't know, in this church, why everybody just calls everybody bro, sister, this is Sister Oge, Sister Onye, Sister Ginika, Sister Anu. Say, why? Brother Promise, Brother Favor. Why brother, sister. Is it not just S-U-T-S? What you don't know is more than what you know. It is honor. Honor to force you realize that this is who you are. You are my brother. You know, just knowing that as a way of making you act properly. We are not a social club. We are not running a social club. We are not running a social enterprise. We are brothers in Christ. And so I'm going to honor you on that regard. Or in that regard. On that premise, I'm going to see you as special. Why? You are my brother. Say you are my brother. Turn to someone. Don't call his sister brother. I beg. That's shame. Say you are my brother. And I see you like that. I like that old song. I pray for you. You pray for me. You know that song? I love you. I need you to survive. I won't hurt you. With words from my mouth, I love you. I need you to survive. Amen. I pray for you. I love you. No, some people, because of Africanism, you find it hard to say I love you. I think that's one of the things I probably thank Pastor Biodo Kasumo for. You know, growing up, he made us say that word over and over again. Because he says it himself. And as an African child, that was very, very, very weird and awkward. When your pastor comes to you and says, I love you. That did it. Tell him I love you too. I remember there was a time I had to look at, was it Tiwatayo? The one that is a doctor. It's Tiwatayo now. He made me say, tell him I love you. Pastor. Tell him I like you. We are believers in Christ. We ought to honor and love one another. To treat one another as special. To treat one another in high regard. It starts from the way you address. To the way you act. To a believer's meeting. You know, we are gathered and we are edifying one another with tongues and interpretation. You must listen like God is talking to you. Why? Because God is in that person. That makes sense? Because God is in that vessel, you must listen like that. You must not see that. See this one. See how he's speaking in tongues. Is this Shira Baba or Shikra Baba Baba? This one cannot give me accurate spirit kind of thing. There's this one talk. Amen. Amen. Because you're not God, you don't choose who God will use for you. Does that make sense? You don't get to choose. Yours is to receive with honor. So I'm a man of honor. We are also instructed in the scriptures to honor those who have leadership in the local church. To honor those who are over us in the Lord. Hebrews 13. You learning something? This is just a final charge to believers meet in 2023 by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember that them that have the rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. Follow their faith. Follow their behavior. That's the word conversation. Follow their faith. Follow their behavior. Remember them. In verse 17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. That is typical of honor. So I say, me, I don't have anybody I submit to. I am who I am in Christ. I don't obey anybody. I don't take orders. I don't bend the knee. Very soon, you will soon say, I don't have sense. Because that will be your confession at the end. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves to them. I remember there was a time on Facebook. Someone reached out to me via message. I'm no longer on Facebook that actively again. And he reached out and said, there's this pastor that you always post. Every time. You like him too much. This is hero worship. Is it Jesus? I said, it's Jesus. So what do you want to do now? Go and report me to Jesus that I said it's Jesus. See, because you don't have anybody you honor, does not make every other person like you. Amen. He said, why would you say he's the best pastor in the world? I said, does that hurt you? Do you have your pastor? He said, he has a pastor. Then call your pastor to the best pastor. Let's compete. But you don't come at me and say, why am I calling my pastor the best pastor? You don't get to tell me who I call best. He said, when you say best, compare to who? I said, I don't care. You are the one comparing. And I just know he's the best. That is the life of honor. When you honor, God's hand will be upon your life. When you honor, you will receive grace. Amen. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, are you learning something? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Can we read together? Everybody want to go? Let the elders, everybody want to go? Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and in doctrine. Let the elders, talking about pastors, that rule well. How do they rule well? Because they labor in word. Say, let them be counted worthy of what? Honor. Double honor. That is, after you have honored, and this is your honor, now double it. Amen. You know that when you have honor, you know that I have honored you. So when you have honored, now double it. That is how to treat those who labor over you. Then in verse 18, it says, as the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox that threshes the corn. The laborer is worthy of his wages. He calls it wages. Like salary. By the grace of God, nobody calls it salary in this church. We all live for the gospel. Amen. But the way Paul put it, he said, when someone labors over you in word, you must give double honor. Amen. So the temple of God is an object of honor. As believers, as those who have rule over us in our local churches, in our different assemblies, we must be men of honor. So I'm a man of honor. I'm not of dishonor. Jesus told his people, he said, a prophet is without honor. I think we have a teaching like that. A prophet without honor. He said, a prophet is without honor in his own place. Bible now put it, just shortly after, I said, and because of that, he could not heal the sick people there. Not because Jesus did not want to heal, because their dishonor will not make them receive. When you discover that you're not making progress in your Christian faith, you're not maturing, it's as though it's 5 steps forward, 6 steps backward. Look at your life of honor. You find believers, sometimes you are also caught on Instagram, Twitter. You are talking about pastors. Who sent you? Say, a pastor was found. He confessed to sleeping with his usher. You went there, comment. Only God knows those that are serving him. The scripture says, shut up and mind your business. In fact, drink water. Drink water and mind your business. Is that clear? I'm not saying you support the pastor that is doing nonsense, that is not even a pastor. I'm not saying you support. I'm not saying, you know, start saying, rakadidi. No. I'm saying, I'd rather not honor than dishonor. I'd rather just keep quiet, which is a sign of honor in itself. Call the pastor out. He has done this. We all are living by the grace of God. Amen. Including you. Every time there's a slander like that, I used to tell leaders, you are there was a lying time like that. The first thing I used to say, Faith, you know too well. The first thing I would tell the leaders, I say, it's time for us to double our prayers. Because there's nobody above the line. Let him that think he stands, take it, let it fall. Who says you are perfect? I told one believer one time. He said, no, I will not let it slide. Yele, judge. The judge and the jury. I will not let it slide. I will keep retweeting. I said, what if it's your father? Will you keep retweeting? Then he went, ma'am. He said, sweating. No, answer my question. What if it's your father? You know, when something is family, we put it inside. We cover it. I mean, keep quiet and follow your own. Mind your own business. There are things that you self you are fighting. There are things that you self you are trying to get behind you, right? Be full of honor. Don't be dishonorable in your church. Don't be dishonorable. My life is a life of honor. Another thing about the temple is also a place of sacrifice. Say sacrifice. We know that too well, right? That the temple, in the temple you come to the temple with sacrifice. Whether it's the feast of the tabernacle, or it's the feast of the living bread, or it's the feast of Pentecost, or the feast of the Passover, you come to the temple with sacrifice. We sang that song on Thursday. We bring the sacrifice of praise. We are the house of the Lord. Sing with me now. No, I'm not a good singer. We bring the sacrifice. This is the house. This is the So we bring the sacrifice of praise because it's the temple. So the temple is a place of sacrifice. Who is the first temple that housed God and man in one body? Eh? The first temple that housed God and man in one body. Christ. Have you? And he's known by his sacrifice. Because temples are for sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10. Are you learning something? Verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and the blood of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, Jesus comes into the world and he says, sacrifice and offering you have not demanded. That is, bulls and goats you have not demanded. But what have you demanded? A body, a temple, you have prepared me. In burnt offering and sacrifices of sin, you have no pleasure. Lo, I come in the volume of book that is written of me, O Lord. Above when he said, sacrifice offering and burnt offering for sin that would not, don't have pleasure, which offered by the law. So again, God is not interested in the turtle doves and the bread. He has prepared a temple, a body. You have prepared me. That's the way you must see it. That you are existing in the place of a sacrifice. We said the temple is a place for sacrifice. That means your entire Christian living must be sacrificial. There's nothing called service until you sacrifice. That means you are sacrificing your time. You are sacrificing efforts. You are sacrificing your resources. You are sacrificing your money. You are sacrificing sometimes progress in a particular part of your life. Jesus model the perfect temple for us. It's a temple of sacrifice. The temple is a place of sacrifice. If you cannot see it like that, then something vital is wrong. You cannot sacrifice your time to be in church. Sometimes you have to even sacrifice your pride. which I don't think you should have won in the first place. He said, hey, you know what he told me in that church? He said, because I came late, that I should go and pray. Do you know who I am? Sorry, who are you? I don't know. Anytime people ask me, do you know who I am? I don't know. I don't know you. Tell me. You died for sins before? Have you risen from the dead? How many people have you raised from the dead? Let me start with knowing who you are first. When you have raised 1,000 people at least from the dead, let's talk. So who are you? Hello, brother. The same. Who are you? like a joke one time. One of my friends went to an hotel with his cousin. He said, the cousin said, do you know who I am? The guy said, who are we? He looked at his cousin, who are we? So I'm not going to that church again. Hey, why? He didn't call me on my birthday. Your mouth is smelling. Who did you call on your own birthday? He didn't call me when I was sick. How are we going to know that you are sick? Did you tell us that you are sick? If you had called that you are sick, people have called you. The temple is a place of sacrifice. So we are preaching the gospel every weekend, right? We go out, we preach the gospel. Sometimes you have things that you want to do. Sometimes you have things that need fixing. I've traveled to Ibadan and come back the same day just to ensure that I am preaching. I've rejected opportunities just to ensure that the gospel progresses. And I know a lot of you have done that too. The temple. Sometimes you don't even have to tell people. Because the temple is a place of sacrifice. Amen. Amen. It's a place of sacrifice. And I will live a life of sacrifice. Present your body a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. Romans chapter 12 is 1. Present your body a living sacrifice. That means every day of your life, you are living as the temple. Sacrificial. Honorable. Present yourself a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. Say, this is your neighbor service. Does that make sense now? There's no service without sacrifice. How do I know you're serving the Lord? There is something that you have let go. There is something that you have let go. It will pain you. That sacrifice. Oh. Is that what David said? He said, I will not sacrifice unto the Lord. I will not give unto the Lord what will cost me nothing. Men and brethren, live a life of sacrifice. Sometimes that's how you get a better prayer life. Not the prayer life. You have told yourself you will do VG this night. 10 o'clock. Say, I just want to watch one more episode. 11 o'clock. Last episode. 12. Guess who is in Wonderland? The believer in Christ. The next thing he hears what? Allahu Akbar. 4:30. See? This morning, Masatakin. You cannot sacrifice sleep. You don't do VGs on your bed. That's not sacrifice. You have set up yourself for trouble. All of my disciples that time in Ibadan. I said, why didn't you do the VG? He said, he made a mistake. I said, I made tea. Oh, maybe I do an poti. said, Meti. I said, Cool or what? He said, Hot. I said, The devil had you. Yeah. Because it was raining. Ah! It's raining. Oh, Poti. The mission is complete. You are done. You don't do that. You make sacrifice. You get out of your building. You take a walk. You lock your room and pray. It says you have mastered it. Say you have mastered it. Amen. Take sacrifices. Don't be all about yourself. That is what the devil wants. The moment you're all about yourself, you cannot serve the Lord. You can't be the object of your worship. You can't be the object of your own devotion. Christ must be the object. That makes sense? It must be the object of your worship. It must be the reason why you're waking up in the morning and sleeping at night. We are the temple of the Lord. We are honorable. We are sacrificial by the power of the Holy Ghost. We walk on in humility and in honor. Are you listening to me? Live a life of sacrifice. Faith in Christ is seen in what you sacrifice. You saw that in Abel. Having believed the gospel, it came with a sacrifice. Something that will cost you something. Sometimes it's time, sometimes it's relationships. Sacrifice. Some people are not serving the Lord today because they are still thinking, what will this so person now say now? What will this person now say about me now? They now say, I'm not part of them again. No. Sacrifice. So now you just have to let go. I've lost friends because I'm talking far back at secondary school. One of my best friends. I told him, I said, we've been best friends for, we left a particular junior secondary school together to go to the senior secondary school. So we have been friends. We were classmates, we were seatmates at the point. I just realized that the gospel wanted more. I told him about the fact I wanted to do a tract, talking about 16 years ago, 15. I wanted to do a tract that we're going to print out for the gospel. And look at me like he said, tract? That guy is the money to play game, John. I did as if I did not hear. That is someone I love a lot. I like I know here. The next day I treat again. A second chance. Deuteronomy. He said the same thing. Let's buy health ball. You don't have money for Wemby. It's not that tract. Buy health. We'll always be first captain, second captain. I just started avoiding him. Oh, look over me. This one. Want to send me to hell. There are relationships that you must just let go. So that Christ can win. The end result must be Christ winning in the hearts of men. That must be the end result. The end result must be His glory in our hearts and in the nations of the earth. We'll do that with much honor. With much sacrifice. I don't care what people will say. As long as Jesus is pleased with what I'm doing. Damn the praises of men. I don't care about it. I don't want praises. I don't want fame. I don't want it. I've always said it. Glorious House Church, we did not set up to be the biggest church. We don't even want it. We don't even want it. Just Jesus being glorified. Other times someone taught a teaching, one of our core teachings, title of prophets, and he changed the title and he did not even say anything. I said, leave him. He got a language of something. Or language of Old Testament or something. Just change the title and he preached exactly what we're teaching. Now there are pastors who reach out to me and said, we know a few who reach out to me and say, I just preached your teaching. In fact, it was not clear. Please, I just say thank you for listening. What else do you want to say? But if you do it, and I asked the disciples, I said, one of the leaders one time, I said, did he preach the gospel? Did he channel did not change anything there? He preached it the way the Bible said it. And let him take the glory. I don't care. That's the end result. I don't care what man will say. I don't care how popular we are. I actually don't care. If you know too well, you will see it. I don't treat first timers and say, because you're a first timer. Yeah? I don't do that. Though. If I see first timer and I sleep in the church, I'll tell you to stand up. You think because you're first timer, I'll not tell you to stand up. Oh, come here. At the point, they said I should be taking this easy. It's all Janio. One first time I was receiving call, I said, do you want to be in this church or you want to go out? And he started going and I said, please be fast. What was that? That was amazing. I said, be fast. You don't raise some serious business here. This is not the church you go to and you'll be giving you meat pie. So that you can come back. Train you by the word. Train you by prayer. If that's not enough for you, then you don't love yourself. Who wants to raise a believer that doesn't know God's word, that doesn't even know the guardian of the saints? Who wants to raise that kind of believer? You are not that kind, right? The temple of God is clean. The temple of God is pure. The temple of God is holy. The temple of God is honorable. And the temple of God is sacrificial. Can we pray for ourselves this morning? I live a life of honor and it's a life of sacrifice. It's called prayer. I live a life of honor and a life of sacrifice. And because of that, the gospel is progressing through me, with me. We're slowly coming to the end of Believers Meeting 2022. Pray for yourself. This meeting will have the better effect on me. I'll begin to see the hand of the Lord in my life, in my teaching, in my ministry. Pray for yourself, From now on, from after this service, I am more consistent. I am more faithful. I am more diligent with the things of God. I am more honorable. I am more sacrificial. Every idol fall face flat in the name of Jesus. Pray for yourself. My ministry is progressing. The work of my hands is prospering. All the things the Lord has put in my hands, nothing dies in my hands. Nothing dies in my hands. As the temple of God, I am faithful to the world, faithful to prayer, faithful to doctrine, faithful to the Lord's church, faithful to preaching of the gospel. So at the end of everything, I can say boldly, I stood in the name of Jesus. I came in the name of Jesus. Pray for yourself this morning. Hold someone beside you and let's pray together. It's a prosperous year for us. It's a prosperous year for us ahead. Through me, the gospel is growing. Through me, the gospel is growing. You have trained my hands to war, O Lord. You have trained my hands to war, O Lord. You train my hands to fight. You train my hands to fight. You've trained my hands to fight. I'm not lethargic. I'm not apathetic. I'm not lazy. I'm full of the Spirit. As I preach, more souls are won to the kingdom of God. More men will yield to Jesus because of me. For you are with me always. You are with me always. More men are yielding. More men are preaching because I'm preaching. It's an harvest in all of the nations of the earth. Pray, 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 pray for yourself. Smitten, other is with. I'm a better Christian. I'm a better Christian because you are in me. I walk by the word, I walk by the Spirit. I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm more effective in the things of the Spirit. The things of the Spirit are my things. Tongues, interpretation, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, discerning of spirit, prophecy, healings, the working of miracles, and the gift of faith. They are my things. My hands are the hands of Jesus. In the outreaches, my words are the words of Jesus. My words are the words of Jesus. When men listen to me, they will say they heard Jesus. When men see me, they will say they saw Jesus. When I have encounters with men, it will be encounters with the God kind. Lives will be changed because I'm here. Ministries will be changed because I'm here. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself this morning. Let go of some rabbi and the gather. So celebrate the end of the I am more effective. My prayer life is more effective. I'm not a lazy Christian. My ministry is prospering.
I don't give excuses. I don't murmur. I don't complain. I only do God's word. I only live by God's word. I don't murmur and I don't complain. I don't give excuses. I walk by the word. I walk by the word. I do the word. It's a year of mighty harvest for me. The ministry of the laying on of hands is effective in my life. I begin to see the results. I begin to see the results. Supernatural. I begin to appreciate God's word more. I begin to pray more. I get better all around. My focus is maintained. It's on Jesus. I'm not distracted. I'm not distracted. My eyes are always on the ball. Prove yourself this morning. Jesus, you are walking in me every time. You are walking in me every time. I see what you're doing. Of the Spirit. Where he leads is where I go. I'm not wise in my own eyes. I find the wisdom of God wise enough. I'm not smart in my own eyes. I find the wisdom of God wise enough for me. His glory fills my life. Surrender. I'm open wide. Use me for your glory. Take my life and make it yours. Take my life and make it yours. Your desires become my desires. Your desires become my desires. Your wants become my wants. Your will becomes my will. over yourself. This time next year, I'm better. This time next year, I'm working more, more, more.